Thank you. gather this morning in the season of Thanksgiving with praise and worship to our God. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship this day.
Bert's got a little pep on her today, doesn't she? Thank you, Bert, for our wonderful opening this morning. Good morning. It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day during the season of Thanksgiving. As we anticipate the opportunity to gather with our family and friends a little bit later on in the week, it is so good to gather with our church family here in the warmth of the sanctuary. For those that are joining us this morning on Facebook Live, thank you for joining us with your friends and family. I encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. You can pull our worship bulletin up and use that as a resource, not just for this hour of worship, but also for the ministries that are coming up in the life of our church. And so for our congregation gathered here and those that are at home, just some things I want to remind you about taking place this week. Immediately following worship today, there's an opportunity to help prepare the church building, our entire facility, by putting up our Advent and Christmas decorations. For those sitting in our sanctuary today, you can see they're ready to go. We've got some ready, and it's going to kind of transition our time into the season of Advent. They'll have lunch in the fellowship hall right after worship today. There's more than enough lunch for anybody and everybody to stay to enjoy that time, and then we will decorate. We'll get everything put in where it needs to get placed. Also, just a reminder about what's coming up this week. I want to let you know about our church office hours. The church office will be open this week on Monday and Tuesday. However, we'll be closed on Wednesday and Thursday. So if you have something that you need to bring by the office, make sure you come Monday and Tuesday of this week. And just know that we will be celebrating Thanksgiving with our families on Wednesday and Thursday and also on Friday. Elon University Reading Day is coming up. It is coming quickly. Friday, December 2nd. Not this Friday, but the next Friday. And we are still collecting individually wrapped items. Chips, cookies, candy, anything like that to place in the Reading Day study bags we're doing for the Elon Cheer Squad. So if you haven't had a chance to bring something, I would encourage you, next time you're at the grocery store, pick up some items and bring them to the church so we can help put those bags together. The bags will be put together on Thursday, December 1st, or Friday, December 2nd, But we need to have the items in by noon on that Thursday, December 1st. So please help out with this ministry opportunity as we continue to seek out and reaching out to our college students in our community. Also coming up is our Salvation Army Focused Sunday. Many of you, 10 of you have already picked up the angels off of the angel tree, which is wonderful, and I'm thankful for that. I want to remind you that those items need to be brought back early December. But the first Sunday in December, we will also have our collection for the Forgotten Angels. This is when we bring individual items, such as electric items, sports equipment, anything that would speak to a older child or young teenager. That's usually the angels that don't get chosen. So we want to collect items like that for the Salvation Army, and we encourage you to bring that on that first Sunday in December, December 4th. We'll also be collecting $40 gift cards to Walmart for the senior adults that the Salvation Army assists and sponsors with. So if you want to purchase a $40 gift card and bring it, that would be great. If you just want to make a donation to the church and we can turn that around and pick up some $40 gift cards, you can do that as well. That's what's going on right now in the season of Thanksgiving as we approach the Advent season. And as we worship this morning, may we give thanks to God for the blessing of being in His presence this day, because that is something that we can always be thankful for. Let's sing praise to God this morning.
Our first hymn this morning is Come Ye Thankful People. Let's stand and worship together.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations He has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The reason that we can give thanks this season is that God is our fortress. He allows us to be quiet in the moment, to reflect on who He is and what He is challenging us. And so this Thanksgiving season, I encourage you to do that. Find some moments of quiet, because oftentimes it's a lot of noise and a lot of celebration, but find some times of quiet, a moment where you can be still and know that God is with you. Let's pray this morning. O God, who is greater than the most powerful forces in the world, enable us to be still and know that You are God. O Lord, who answers out of the whirlwind of everyday life, breathe in us Your Spirit to strengthen, to comfort, and to guide us in the midst of this storm. O still small voice, speak to us this hour, that we might become makers of Your peace in our homes, in our communities, in our world. May our inner soul live praise and thanksgiving with every breath we take. We pray this all in the name of the One who calmed the raging sea, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our offertory hymn this morning is "We Gather Together." Let's worship together.
One of the other opportunities we have this week is a community opportunity. This Tuesday evening at 7 p.m., we'll be joining our fellow Elon churches for our annual community Thanksgiving service. This is a service we look forward to every single year. It is truly a blessing to gather with our brothers and sisters in Christ. On this Tuesday, November 22nd, we'll be gathering at Elon First Baptist Church, who is hosting the service this year. I encourage you to come. If you're able to, come and join us for this time of worship. It is a wonderful opportunity to worship in another place and to see their style of worship and be a part of that style of worship. And we look forward to that time this Tuesday night at 7. Now, just a couple other things I want to mention about this service. The individual who will be preaching will be Randy Orwig, the pastor at Elon Community Church. So he'll be bringing the word this coming Tuesday. And a couple things that Elon First Baptist has in place at their church right now in the midst of COVID. The first is they are requiring anybody who comes that they wear a mask. I'm not sure if this is a regular mask or just or an N95, but this is something that they have been doing since COVID began. So that's one thing. If you don't mind, bring a mask with you. The other thing is this. Usually we have a fellowship time of food afterwards. We have not done that since COVID has been back in force, and Elon First Baptist has not been gathering as well. So there will not be a food fellowship time at the end of the service, which is always a wonderful time, but we look forward to returning to that sometime in the near future. But just remember about the mask for this coming Tuesday, and I hope you'll join me. I hope you'll join me there. All the ministers in the community will have a part in this service, and it is a wonderful time to to lift up praise to God and send thanksgiving to God for who He is and what He does. Now at this time, I'll call our Deacon Barry Carroll to come forward for offertory prayer.
Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, we give to you an offering and thanksgiving to this church. It's our job as members of this church to see that we use these funds to help finance the outreach in this area. Not outreach to see how many people we can get to come, but an outreach to see how many we can get to know you as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray for this congregation. Lord, I pray that we will not forget our responsibility to reach others for you. Lord, I pray for my pastor, his family, my choir director and her family. And I pray that you will help those of us, like Mark and Bert, who give of themselves to be those that will reach out and meet the needs of others in this community. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, choir, for our beautiful special music this morning. Before we begin to encounter God's word this day, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we are a world that is hurting right now. Over the last week and a half, we've seen tragedies take place on two college campuses, the University of Virginia and the University of Idaho. We pray for those student bodies. We pray for those family members who lost loved ones. We pray for the entire neighborhoods that surround these college campuses and lift them up to you this day. Father, just yesterday, a tragedy took place in our state's capital in Raleigh. Father, we lift up the family of that young girl who lost her life in this tragedy. We grieve with them this day, their family and their friends. And then waking up this morning and seeing the first update on our phone that showed another shooting in Colorado. 5 injured, 19, 5 killed, 19 injured. And Father, we just ask why. Why do we have to experience this pain over and over and over again? But then we're reminded that we live in a fallen world. A fallen world where sin can dominate the thoughts of others, where evil exists. And so, Father, we come to you at this moment in this hour, ready to take up the call of showing and revealing love in a world that is hurting and that is sinful. Because as Christians, that's what we're called to do. We don't have to answer the question why. We answer the question who will go for him. And the answer is us. Father, we come ready for the charge you are placing on our hearts and our minds. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Seems too often that when we're praying that kind of prayer here in church. Again, I want to say thank you for joining us for worship this morning. We are, as we have the last couple weeks, been in the season of Thanksgiving. Now, if you've been with us the past two Sundays, you know what I've been preaching about, a sermon series on how to make Thanksgiving into a year-round occurrence, every single day being a day we lift thanks to God. Instead of just one day on the calendar, we want Thanksgiving challenges each and every day, on every season that we face, no matter what's going on in our hearts, whether it be happiness or sadness, joy or despair, we too can still give thanks to God. Now, the first Sunday a couple weeks ago, we looked at two feasts celebrated by the Israelites. And if you remember, those feasts served as a reminder that God had brought them through challenging times, out of slavery in Egypt, and then through their wandering in the wilderness to the Promised Land. Last week, we turned in Paul's words in 2 Corinthians. We examined how our thanksgiving enables us to overcome any hardship that we might be facing. A thankful heart helps us to see God's ability to work through our pain for His ultimate glory. And in conclusion today, this morning, we'll observe our final lesson in Thanksgiving, and that is how to live a life of unconditional thanksgiving. In the spring of 1621, after having landed at Plymouth Rock and surviving the very first hard winter, the Pilgrims were not doing well. Many had died during that winter, and they needed help. Fortunately, two Native Americans, Squanto and Samerset, helped the Pilgrims learn how to survive in this new land by showing them farming techniques and by teaching them how to gather certain natural foods from the wilderness, from the forest, to help sustain them. By the fall, things had greatly improved, and the Pilgrims had such an abundance of food that they decided to celebrate with a feast of thanksgiving. The Pilgrims celebrated by saying thanks unto God for His provision, because they knew that God had provided it for them. Today, Thanksgiving appears to be maybe one of the only times that we really truly give thanks. But the Lord wants us to make it an everyday thing. At all times and in every situation of life, God wants us to do, as Paul says in Ephesians 5:20, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is thanks living. Now think for a moment. Is your thanksgiving rooted in an overwhelming praise unto God for your salvation? Or are your thanks rooted in earthly things? Do we rejoice in the God of our salvation as our strength, or is our focus on what is here and now? The question really comes down to this. If the worst thing possible could happen to you on this day, could you still say, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will give thanks to the God of my salvation? Could you say that? That's our goal. That's our goal in living out a life of thanks living. The Thanksgiving holiday can be a little bit misleading, because some people will think this is the only time to give thanks. We need to understand that Thanksgiving is not just a day. It is a lifestyle. It is the life that we are called to live in Jesus Christ. If we say thank you today, if we put on a thankful appearance for just one day, but then the next day something else, we're not truly living a life of thanks living. However, if our focus is on God's gifts, what He bestows upon us, the ability to honor and serve Him as a follower of Christ, and we say thank you for that, that is the life of thanksgiving. We must learn to rejoice in the Lord and take joy in the God of our salvation. We must learn to give always thanks, and in all things we give thanks. Our thanksgiving must be rooted in Him. Now, the prophet Habakkuk provides us with an example of someone who understood unconditional thanksgiving, the type of thanksgiving we should demonstrate on a daily basis. So let's take a look at the word from this minor prophet and see what we can learn from this man of great faith concerning giving thanks unto God. You have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Habakkuk chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 17, 18, and 19. And the words will also be on the screen behind me. These words from a prayer that Habakkuk was lifting up to God. One that we actually covered in our virtual Bible study just a couple weeks ago. So those who are able to watch that can gain some additional insight into this passage. But these are the words of an individual you might think doesn't want to give thanks to God because of his circumstances. But yet he did. Reading Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. So we think about those words, we need to understand the context of what the prophet was talking about. What was the prophet going through? Commentator Warren Wiersbe says about this passage, "This is one of the greatest confessions of faith found anywhere in the Bible. Habakkuk has faced the frightening fact that the nation that he is a part of, the nation of Judah, will be invaded by a merciless enemy, the Babylonians." Now you've got to place yourself in his shoes for a second. If you knew that in just a short period of time that our nation was going to be overrun and overwhelmed by a foreign power, how would that make you feel? You'd be devastated. You would be upset. You would be saying, "Why, God? Why is this happening?" And this is what Habakkuk is having to deal with. He was the prophet who was given the word to take it to the nation of Judah to say, "You are going to fall." And not just fall in general, he was falling to one of the worst groups of individuals on this earth, the Babylonians. How would you handle that message? How would you handle the emotions that are probably welling up inside of him? The land would be ruined. Jerusalem, the capital, and the temple would be destroyed. Yet he tells God, Habakkuk the prophet tells God in his prayer that he will trust him no matter what happens. Now, if Habakkuk had focused on his own feelings and depended only on his own feelings, he would have never made that great confession of faith that we see in chapter 3. When he looked ahead, he saw a nation headed for destruction, and that frightened him. And it's okay to be frightened. It's okay to be scared. When he looked within, though, he saw himself trembling with fear. How was he going to be the prophet that God needed to be? When he looked around, he saw everything in the economy was about to fall apart. But when he looked up, see the difference? Not looking around, not looking within ourselves, but when he looked up by faith, he saw God and all his fears vanished. What are we looking at, folks? That's the big question. What are we looking at? Right here, we see that Habakkuk was thankful to the Lord, even though there would be a lack of food and his physical needs might not have been met. Many would be exiled to Babylon, many would be slain, but even in the midst of it, he gave thanks. These verses represent unconditional thanksgiving. The word unconditional means not dependent on or conditioned by an external thing, but actually rooted in God alone, rooted in the experience of the wonder of salvation. Our thanksgiving unto the Lord shall be unconditional, just as God's love for his people is unconditional. God's love for Israel was unconditional, as is his love for us. In Deuteronomy 7, 7 and 8, we read this: "The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to his fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt." The Lord did not choose the Israelites to be his people because they were the largest group around. Because they weren't. They weren't. He didn't choose Israel because of their faithful acts or their wisdom or their strength. No, that's not why he chose Israel as his people. He had made a promise with his people. And that's why he chose Israel to be his nation. And the same speaks to us, not the United States, but all who believe in Christ and call him Lord. God is always faithful and he's always loving. And we need to be consistent and faithful in giving thanks to the Lord because he is consistent and faithful. And who are we looking at? We're looking up. An evergreen tree is always green despite the changes in weather around it. It is green in the heat of summer as well as the cold of winter. So also our lives are to be characterized by an enduring thankfulness that is unaffected by the changes around us. When the heat of a pressured week comes or the deadly cold of pain strikes us in our bones, we should stand evergreen, always thankful, regardless of that which surrounds us. And isn't it ironic? I didn't know this was going to be the case, that I'm staring at evergreens in the sanctuary this morning. That's God working. The thanksgiving that Habakkuk spoke of is a thanksgiving not dependent on any other object or a circumstance. It's not dependent upon the things that God has given, but upon who God is. Habakkuk wished to say, even if all my worldly comforts were taken away and God allowed my life to become desolate on this earthly ease, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will give thanks. He was proclaiming that his thanksgiving would not be infrequent. He was proclaiming that his thanksgiving was not going to be shallow. It would not only be given when they were agreeable and comfortable, but always because his thanksgiving would be rooted in a profound, personal, and genuine experience of God and who he comes and how he comes to us in salvation and strength. You know, when I was preparing for this sermon, I was a little delayed in talking with Gay about this service. If I had, I would have had the song, Blessed Be Your Name, be a part of this song. If you remember those words by contemporary Christian artist Matt Redman, the words go as this. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Of course we'll be blessed in that. That's just wonderful. Things are going great. But then the next verse. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I will turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. The inspiration for this song came from Job chapter 1, verse 21, where he declared, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Did you know that? Did you know that song was based on Job? And who better to look at for someone who was going through the pits of everything? And what did he still do? He still gave thanks to the Lord. Even at the end, he still gave thanks. This is the story of Habakkuk as well. And this is our story too. Habakkuk spoke here not merely of the loss of everyday comforts that were going to come, but of the very supports of earthly life, being able to function. He imagined one of the darkest pictures a person could possibly go through, and he used the language of agriculture of that day to get it across. If the fig does not blossom, the fig was one of the staple foods for the people of Judah. If the labor of the olive failed, the olive tree brought oil for cooking for the nation of Judah. The fields would have no meat, that meaning the corn, the barley, the wheat, no food to be brought to the storage bin and to save. If the flocks would be cut off from the field, that means the sheep, which would give them wool and meat, would not be present. The herds would not be found in the stalls. The barns would be empty of any kind of livestock that would help them function. If all of this were gone, he imagined complete economic ruin and disaster, everything awful, and in the midst of this, as the economy collapsed, he said, "Give thanks to God." Give thanks to God. Now, I don't know where you are right now in your life with the Lord. I don't know if you are on the peak of a mountaintop or if you are in the valley in the depths. Wherever you are, God knows where you are. Wherever you are and whatever you are going through, God knows. Whether you've voiced it out loud to anyone else or whether you've kept it deep in your soul, God knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. And because of that, we can give thanks to Him. Because of that, He cares for us so much that He's willing to go to the depths to pull us out. We just have to look up. We have to look up. Not look at the world. Not look at the pain and the suffering that's taking place, just like we spoke about just a minute or two ago. We have to look up. Look up when things aren't going well. Don't look around to find the answer. Look up. Habakkuk's thanksgiving had no reservations in it. There is no part which he says, "Well, we better not get too excited about this because I'm not sure it's going to happen." No matter what happens, we should declare, "I will rejoice. I will joy in my God of my salvation because He is my Savior." The word rejoice actually means a leap of joy. He makes my feet like deer's feet. Have you ever seen a deer run across a field? It's not flat-footed. They're not flat-footed. They are prancing. They're jumping. They're jumping. And that's what our feet will be made like because we experience the thanksgiving of God. I will walk upon the high hills or mountains. This is an idea of victory because when we place our trust in God, we will be victorious. This morning we must ask ourselves, do we know God? Do we know that salvation that is freely given? Is the Lord God our strength? Are we looking up or are we looking down? Do we belong upon Him by having salvation through Jesus Christ? If so, then what situation is there that we cannot praise God? There is no situation ever that we cannot praise God. Just yesterday, we buried a long-time member of our church family. But even in the midst of that grief, we still praise God. We can praise God no matter what. Because we have the highest gift. And that is a personal relationship with Him. Thanksgiving is born in one place. It is born when God has shown us that we are sinners. And we realize His amazing love and grace is for us. We sometimes say that a person cannot be thankful until he or she knows what it's like or to be without, like they don't have anything. This is not true. One can be thankful with or without. It doesn't matter. My prayer for you during this season of Thanksgiving, and as we advance, move into the season of Advent, that you will begin to live a lifetime of thanksgiving. God has brought us through difficult times. His grace allows us to overcome any obstacles or hardships with thanks. But finally, no matter what the circumstances, we can find a reason to give thanks unconditionally. And what is that reason? He is that reason. So let's keep looking up. Let's pray. Father, as we reflect on the things that You have done for us, clearly that's a reason that we can give thanks. But more importantly, we need to look up to You and recognize who you are and that we are redeemed through your love. And that is the root source of thanksgiving. It's not about the blessings around us. It's about what you are and who you are to us. Father, that's where we start. And then we just grow from there. I pray for our congregation this week as they spend time with their family and friends in thanksgiving, that they will be able to see how this one day can become a day unlike any other, a day like all the other days that we will experience, where we can give thanks to God, not just for who He is, not just for what He's done, but who we are to Him, His chosen people. We lift this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. As we come to our time of closing, our closing hymn, if you have a decision to make this morning, I encourage you to come down for it. This is a day that we're not called to wait and see what God is going to continue to do. Our thanksgiving begins with our recognition that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And if you haven't accepted Him as that, I'll be down front. Come talk to me today, because that's where thanksgiving begins. For many of us, we're moving on our faith journey past that. Wherever you are right now, in the peaks or the valleys, if you want a time to talk, I'll be up front. The altar, of course, is always open as well. It is a time where we can live praise to God. Also, if this is a day where you might feel that you're looking for a church home that seeks to honor God through thanksgiving, that's what we're striving to do here at First Baptist Elon. Come down in front. Let me tell you what it means to be a part of this congregation, this family of believers. Whatever decision you have to make this day, don't put it off. Make it today. Let's stand and sing. Place today. Go into a world that needs to see and know the love of Christ. Carry it with you. As you keep looking up, live a life of thanksgiving. As we leave today, don't forget, you can join us for lunch upstairs. Everyone's invited. Let's go in peace.
Lord.